The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. First, the People's Pharmacy, Joe and Teresa Graydon, King Features Syndicate. Eating chicken soup for a cold might have scientific support. Question, it's cold season, so I want to remind people that simple chicken soup helps when you have a cold. Here's how I make it. Chicken and onion, 2 cloves of garlic, 2 celery stalks, 2 carrots, parsley, and a little salt and pepper. I also add a bit of sage and thyme. Maybe that's where the song came from, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Just as an addendum, they probably should have mentioned that they put a chicken in there, too. Answer, thanks for the reminder. There is some scientific evidence supporting chicken soup to ease cold symptoms. Researchers found that chicken soup made following a recipe similar to yours reduced inflammation associated with infection, cited in the journal Chest, October 2000. All the vegetables as well as the chicken were also active ingredients individually. If you lived in China, you'd probably add astragalus root to the broth. This Chinese herb has a reputation for boosting immunity. It, too, has been shown to protect against inflammation, and that's cited in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine, 2016. We offer healing chicken soup recipes and other instructions for easing cold symptoms in our book, Recipes and Remedies. It's available at www.peoplespharmacy.com. Question. For over 15 years, I suffered from irritable bowel syndrome, which caused gas attacks, flatulence, and diarrhea. My doctor told me that there was nothing that I could do to stop these symptoms. On my own, I decided to see if avoiding all dairy products would help. That did make a difference. Then I had to take an antibiotic that gave me constant diarrhea. I decided to try a probiotic that offered over 30 billion live intestinal bacteria daily. Within 2 weeks, my diarrhea stopped. Now, 4 months later, I can eat anything, including dairy products, without diarrhea, gas, or bloating. Answer. Scientists analyzed 9 placebo-controlled studies of probiotics for symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome, cited in World Journal of Gastroenterology, March 14, 2015. They concluded, quote, probiotics reduce pain and symptom severity scores. The results demonstrate the beneficial effects of probiotics in IBS patients in comparison with placebo, unquote. As an addendum, I'd probably change doctors. Cognitive side effects of statins remain controversial. Question. I recently read that statins don't cause memory problems. Let me tell you about my experience with statins. Over the past 2 decades, I have been prescribed simvastatin, atorvastatin, fluvastatin, and pravastatin. And those brand names, just so you know, are Zocor, Lipitor, Crestor, and Pravacol, respectively. I would not call my problem memory loss. What I get is stupid, really. It was difficult to figure out slightly complex tasks at work. I was often in a daze, unable to focus. If my brain could not process information, I couldn't think literally. I eventually stopped the statins. I recently tried atorvastatin again. Within a week or so, I started having the same problems. Now I take gemfibrozil and niacin to control my cholesterol. They do not affect my brain. Answer. Doctors disagree about whether brain fog is a side effect of statin-type cholesterol-lowering medications. An epidemiological study from Australia concluded that, quote, statin therapy was not associated with any decline in memory or cognition over 6 years, unquote, cited in the Journal of American College of Cardiology, November 2019. Another group of Australian scientists analyzed studies and case reports, and that cited in Expert Reviews in Clinical Pharmacology, April 27, 2019. They concluded that, quote, statin-induced cognitive decline does exist, needs to be better recognized, and requires more studies of prevention and treatment, unquote. We doubt that this controversy will be resolved anytime soon. Anyone who would like to read more about statin side effects may wish to consult our book, Top Screw-Ups. It is available at www.peoplespharmacy.com. Question. I had a couple of scary nosebleeds a few years ago, and my ear, nose, and throat doctor advised me to use Ayr, A-Y-R, saline nasal gel 2 or 3 times a day. He also suggested that I get a humidifier installed on my furnace. When I did this, it helped with my nose and my skin as well. I've had great success with this method and haven't had any nosebleeds since, not even a hint of blood. I'm very grateful to my ENT physician assistant for the recommendations. This nasal gel is affordable. It's definitely worth looking into if you have problems with dry nose. Answer. Saline sprays or gels are a safe way to moisturize a dry nose. Avoid oil-based products as they might end up in the lungs and can cause inflammation. From Parade Magazine, Stay Healthy, treats for your eyes. You only have one pair of eyes, so keeping them healthy should be a top priority. Besides getting regular exams, feast your eyes on these 6 cool ways to maintain good vision. Cover up, number 1, cover up excess UV or ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Or cover up. Excess UV radiation from the sun can threaten your vision, even in the winter, when it reflects off of ice or snow, increasing your risk of age-related macular degeneration, cataracts, solar retinitis, and more. Maui Jim is currently the only independently owned sunglass brand to earn the seal of approval from the Skin Cancer Foundation for effective UV protection. And they're a little costly, from $170 at MauiJim.com. Number 2, berry good, B-E-R-R-Y. Research shows that wild blueberries contain more anthocyanins, an eye-healthy antioxidant, than any other commonly consumed berry, including regular blueberries. One way to eat more wild blueberries all winter long is with Just Fruit and Greek Yogurt Bites, $4.50 for 4 cups at Wyman's.com. Number 3, block the blue. Long hours spent staring at your computer or other digital devices can cause blurry vision, headaches, and dry, tired-feeling eyes. Taking regular breaks, adjusting the contrast on your screen, and blinking more often can help. To decrease the blue light on your iPhone, go to Display and Brightness in Settings and tap Night Shift. It changes the screen to a warmer color, which semi-filters out blue light. You can schedule it to go into effect from sunrise to sunset or whatever time you like. Also worth a try, blue light blocking glasses from GUDZWS, and they're $18. They're on Amazon.com. Number 4, food smarts. Besides eating right for healthy peepers, omega-3 rich fish and nuts are eye-friendly choices. You need to be careful when cooking with hot oil or grease, which can easily spray upward and injure your eyes. A splatter screen keeps the hot stuff where it belongs, in the pan. And one of the brands is Calphalon Splatter Guard, $30 at Macy's.com. Number 5, chill your lids. Evergreen tree allergies, fireplace smoke, dry winter air, or crying over holiday movies can irritate your eyes. But don't rub. It can break the tender skin on eyelids and even weaken your corneas. Instead, soothe your lids with a cold compress. The MetaViz Cooling Eye Mask contains massage beads and cooling gel to ease dry eyes and wake up sleep-deprived ones. It's $19 at Amazon. Finally, number 6, play it safe. Being handy around the house is not without its risks. If you're a dyer, D-I-Y-E-R, eliminate the possibilities of small particle liquids or chemicals traveling into your eyes with a good pair of safety glasses. Look for a pair that is impact resistant and fully adjustable. Most fit over your own glasses so you can shield your eyes and see it clearly. That's at Safety Over Spec Glasses, $13 at nocry.com. From the Mayo Clinic Health Letter, chronic constipation. You've tried to do the right things, drinking plenty of water, mixing fiber supplements in to your morning orange juice, walking every day, yet you still consistently have constipation. Ongoing or chronic constipation is frustrating, especially if you feel like nothing is working. Constipation is a common problem among older adults, and it's not unusual for people to be dissatisfied with the recommended medications meant to help them. Chronic constipation can bring discomfort, bloating, and straining, and sometimes bothersome or even painful problems such as hemorrhoids. But if nothing seems to help your constipation, what else can you do when it's chronic? Constipation means that it's difficult to pass stool, or you don't pass stool very often, generally having fewer than 3 bowel movements a week. People dealing with constipation may have lumpy or hard stools, strain to have bowel movements, or feel like stool remains in their system after a bowel movement. If you've experienced these signs and symptoms over the last 3 months, and they have been present for at least 6 months, you'll likely have chronic constipation. Contributing causes of constipation may include side effects of medications such as opioids and iron supplements, a medical condition such as diabetes, irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, Parkinson's disease, or lupus, a diet that's low in fiber and fluids, a sedentary lifestyle or lack of exercise, as physical activity helps your bowel muscles move stool. Stool blockage, such as by scar tissue or cancerous tumor in the colon. Aging can be a factor when it comes to constipation due to getting less physical activity, increasing medication use, or eating a lower fiber diet because of difficulty chewing or swallowing. Combating constipation. Typically, the first steps to tackle chronic constipation are lifestyle changes that you can try at home, and they include, number one, slowly increasing your fiber intake. This can be done by eating fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, and legumes. Examples include brown rice, whole grain cereal, beans, spinach, cucumbers, and apples. It may be helpful to remember that fruits that start with the letter P, such as prunes, pears, and peaches, are good sources of fiber. Foods such as brown rice and broccoli provide insoluble fiber, which increases the bulk in your stool and helps it pass more quickly through your intestines. Soluble fiber found in foods such as kidney beans and ripe bananas helps more water stay in your stool, making it softer and easier to pass. It's recommended that women 51 and older consume 21 grams of fiber a day and men of the same age consume 30 grams. However, be aware that dramatically increasing your fiber intake over a short period of time can cause bloating and gas. Secondly, eating breakfast. Mayo Clinic experts say the colon is most active in the morning, and eating a morning meal can trigger the colon to be even more active. Drinking hot coffee or another caffeinated beverage along with your breakfast can also trigger a bowel movement. Number three, establishing a bathroom routine. In addition to a routine such as the one suggested above, don't ignore an urge or delay going to the bathroom. And finally, number four, exercising regularly. This can stimulate your gastrointestinal muscles and help food move through your system. Physical activity doesn't have to be vigorous. It can include gentle exercises such as walking or using a stationary bike. What else? If these changes aren't working, additional steps you can try before heading to the doctor include fiber supplementation. A fiber supplement such as psyllium husk or Metamucil, wheat dextrin such as Benefiber, or calcium polycarbophyll such as Fibercon can make stools bulkier, softer, and easier to pass. If you take a fiber supplement, be sure to drink plenty of water. Fiber supplements can be especially helpful if you're having trouble meeting the recommended daily amounts of fiber through your diet alone. Fiber powders and fiber pills have a similar effect, but it takes quite a few pills to equal a dose of powder. As such, a fiber powder may be simpler to take and is more cost-effective than our fiber pills. Laxatives. Despite widespread worries that laxatives are harmful or addictive, Mayo Clinic experts say that non-prescription laxatives are safe and can be very helpful. If laxatives are needed regularly, osmotic laxatives that increase water content in your stool, such as oral magnesium hydroxide, such as milk of magnesia, or polyethylene glycol, such as Miralax, may be good options, but be sure to use any laxative as directed on the label and talk to your health care provider if you're unsure what type of laxative would be best. Squatting when on the toilet. Try placing your feet on a stool or a stack of books while sitting on the toilet to imitate a squatting posture. Companies such as Squatty Potty sell a product just for this purpose. Some feel this position helps the pelvic floor relax, making it easier to pass stools. Some less robust studies have shown that a squatting posture may make it easier to pass stool and help with constipation. Mayo Clinic doctors are currently conducting a more definitive study of the technique's effectiveness. See the doctor if you're dissatisfied with the results you're getting from trying lifestyle changes and using laxatives, particularly if you find that the dosage recommended on a laxative label isn't enough. It may be time to see a primary care provider or digestive specialist, such as a gastroenterologist. Additionally, if you're seeing blood in your stool, experiencing abdominal pain, losing weight unexpectedly, or noticing an abrupt change in your bowel pattern, see a doctor right away. A gastroenterologist will listen to your health history, perform a physical examination, and if needed, order additional testing such as stool tests or a colonoscopy. Depending on the findings, options for therapy may include biofeedback therapy. It is possible that your pelvic floor muscles may not be working quite right, a condition called pelvic floor dysfunction. The pelvic floor muscles provide a hammock to support organs such as the bladder, uterus, and rectum. If these muscles aren't able to relax or aren't working in coordination with the opening of the anal sphincter, when you bear down, it can be difficult to pass stool. Biofeedback therapy teaches you to better control and relax your pelvic floor muscles. A rectal sensor monitors your attempts to relax or tighten your pelvic floor muscles. You can see your results on a display to know if you're successful, helping you train yourself to relax. Some people who complete biofeedback therapy may experience relief from constipation symptoms without the need for laxatives. And finally, prescription medications. Newer drugs such as Amitiza, Linzess, and Trulance work to increase fluid in the intestines, but through a different method from non-prescription laxatives. Montegrity speeds movement of stool through the colon by enhancing the rhythmic contraction and relaxation of colon muscles, which is called peristalsis. Studies have shown that these drugs may effectively reduce the symptoms of chronic constipation, such as straining and bloating, and facilitate more frequent bowel movements. However, these drugs come with risks of side effects, such as diarrhea. Is my medication causing constipation? Some medications can cause constipation. Talk to your doctor if you take one of these medications and have constipation. Opioids for pain relief, iron or calcium supplements, including a multivitamin products, calcium channel blockers to treat conditions such as high blood pressure, antidepressants to treat depression or anxiety, antipsychotics to treat psychosis, some forms of manic depression illness and severe depression, antihistamines for allergy relief, antispasmodics for overactive bladder or irritable bowel syndrome, antiemetics to prevent or alleviate nausea and vomiting, and then acids for acid reflux relief. Health tips. Nail care. As you age, your fingernails can naturally become weaker and prone to splinting. Try these tips to keep them healthy and strong. Do avoid fingernail wetness for extended periods. If your fingernails are wet for a long time, they're at greater risk of splitting. Wear cotton-lined rubber gloves during tasks such as washing dishes. Trim properly. Trim your nails straight with a soft rounded corner. Or with softly rounded corners. Use sharp manicure scissors or clippers. And try to trim your nails after a bath or shower. Carefully clip off hangnails. Thirdly, use moisturizer. Dry nails are more prone to split, so make sure your hand lotion reaches your fingernails and cuticles. Four, clean under your nails. Wash away germs with soap and water. Using a nail brush may be helpful. Five, try a nail hardener for strengthening nails. Stay away from products with formaldehyde, as repeated use may weaken nails. Next, eat healthy, consuming a variety of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, lean products, and healthy fats provides the necessary nutrients for healthier nails. And do not pick at your nails. Don't bite your nails, pick at your cuticles, or pull off hangnails. You may damage the nail bed and increase infection risk. Number two, overuse nail polish remover. If remover is needed, use an acetone-free remover. Finally, use your nails like a tool. Don't pry or scrape things with your nails. Hearing aid hesitations. What's holding you back? You've been looking forward to your grandkids' visits for weeks. Sitting at the dinner table, you're excited to hear updates about their lives and activities. However, when the time comes, it's very difficult to understand what they're saying. The effort of straining to hear is exhausting, and your adult children are frustrated when they have to keep repeating themselves. Maybe you don't have a hearing aid, or maybe you have one but don't use it. That's often the case. According to estimates of American adults aged 50 or older with hearing aids or hearing loss, only 1.4% use a hearing aid. Hearing loss is more than missing out on dinner conversations. An inability to communicate can make your life more lonely, confusing, and frightening. So what's holding you back from using hearing aids? Here today, gone tomorrow. Tiny hair cells, or cilia, are located in a part of the inner ear called the cochlea. With normal hearing, these hair cells change sound vibrations into electrical signals, which are processed by the brain and perceived as sound. Age and exposure to loud sounds are key factors that can take a toll on hair cells. Their hair cells may be damaged and some may die, which means electrical signals aren't transmitted as efficiently, and some sounds are filtered out. Hearing loss due to inner ear damage is known as sensorineural hearing loss. Typically, the damage is permanent. Hearing aids make sounds loud enough for you to hear. Hearing aids use small microphones to pick up sounds, then amplify the sound through a speaker. This can improve your ability to hear and communicate. Why not? You may have hesitations about using hearing aids, and you may justify avoiding them by thinking, I can hear perfectly fine. Hearing loss comes on gradually, so it's common not to recognize it at first. You may have started compensating for the loss without noticing, such as by turning the TV volume up or reading people's lips to help understand what they're saying. You might think you don't have a hearing problem because sounds still seem loud, but it's common to have loss of verbal comprehension even if volume seems fine. For example, you may have difficulty hearing high-pitched sounds, such as the consonant sounds F, the, H, and S. This can make it easy to mix up words such as sat and hat. Hearing aids are too expensive. Unfortunately, hearing aids are not covered by Medicare or many insurance companies, and they can cost a few thousand dollars. Food and Drug Administration, FDA-approved hearing aids will be available without prescription in the next few years, which could significantly reduce costs. While upfront hearing aid costs may seem steep, one study found that over 10 years, out-of-pocket medical costs were 34% higher for adults over 50 with untreated hearing loss compared with those with normal hearing. On average, that totaled $2,030. Also increased were inpatient stays, outpatient visit days, days in the hospital, and risk of emergency department visits. They don't work for me. Hearing aids can significantly improve hearing, but they will not fix all hearing problems or bring back normal hearing. In addition, it will take time to adjust to your hearing aid, and your hearing aid may need to be adjusted by a professional several times. With a hearing aid improving sound, the brain needs to acclimate to noises you may not have heard in years, such as the refrigerator humming or keys jingling. Other noises, maybe even your own voice, may sound strange to you, but your brain will adjust to that too. It may be tempting to wear your hearing aids only when you feel you need them most, perhaps at church or while you're at your book club. However, Mayo Clinic experts suggest wearing them all day. This way your brain will adapt to background noises faster. You'll be better able to listen at your book club if your brain has already gotten used to the sound of paper rustling. And finally, I don't want people to know I need them. Hearing problems are extremely common. About one-third of Americans age 65 to 74 have hearing loss, as do close to 50% of Americans age 75 and older. You may worry that hearing aids will cause others to see you as incompetent, but hearing aids can empower you to feel confident about interacting with loved ones and participating in activities you love. Benefits. Not convinced? Consider the benefits of hearing aids with regard to your, number one, relationships. Being able to meaningfully participate in conversation can help maintain and improve relationships, preventing feelings of isolation. Older adults who use hearing aids tend to be more socially active, have greater emotional stability, and have better relationships with their families than do those with untreated hearing loss. Tinnitus. This is the perception of hearing a sound such as ringing, buzzing, or humming when no external sound is present. If you have hearing loss, tinnitus may be less noticeable with hearing aids. Some hearing aids can also produce a low-level background noise that can help mask tinnitus. Cognitive function. Hearing loss has been associated with cognitive impairment, and studies have shown a link to dementia. Treating hearing loss may improve cognition and memory. And finally, mental and emotional health. Hearing loss may make you anxious about communicating in social situations. Studies have also shown links between hearing loss and depression. One study in adults 50 and over found that compared with no hearing loss, untreated hearing loss was associated with an over 40% increase in the risk of depression over 5 years. From the Harvard Health Letter, Harvard researchers, red meat consumption tied to early death. We already know that a diet rich in red meat is linked to many health problems such as heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and colorectal cancer. Now a Harvard study led published online June 12, 2019 by BMJ suggests that boosting your red meat intake increases your risk for early death. Scientists analyzed questionnaire answers about health and diet provided by more than 81,000 healthy men and women between 1986 and 2010. Researchers looked at whether changes in red meat consumption during an 8-year period affected the risk of death 8 years later. The findings: an increase of just half a serving of processed red meat per day was associated with a 13% higher risk for dying young from any cause. In addition to half serving of unprocessed red meat increased the risk by 9%. On the flip side, decreasing total red meat consumption and increasing the consumption of nuts, fish, poultry without skin, dairy, eggs, whole grains, and vegetables was tied to a lower risk of death. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long, until next time, and if you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy. Thank you.